Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That hymn, "What God Ordains is Always Good," is the most beautiful sung confession of exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us today from that section of the Sermon on the Mount. And he is teaching Christians. And the Christian heart, then, that trusts in God above all things, can rightly sing those difficult stanzas of that wonderful hymn. That the difficulty is that our hearts are also then prone to be fleshly, to look to other gods like mammon or money, or all that money can do for you, if you just had enough of it, of course, or just a little bit more of it, that our idolatry makes singing that hymn and those stanzas of that hymn difficult. And for that, then, our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us today. But the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is, again, for Christians. It is for those who have been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those who are being taught the Word of God. Those who gather together with other believers of little faith to receive from the Lord all that He would give of His grace and His merciful pity upon us. Of those who are not Christians, we hear about them today also. At first, at least, the widow of Zarephath in the Old Testament lesson, the one who can only see how little she has and despairs of life itself for both her and her son. The one from the epistle lesson who thinks that he is something when really he is nothing. And likewise then, from that same lesson, the one who sows to his flesh, who gives up, who loses hope, who does good only for his own flesh's sake. And then in the gospel lesson, the one who trusts in mammon, money, who worships money by the idolatrous prayer of anxiety, who spends his life fretting and striving to secure something for himself, to provide for himself rather than being humbled and shamed by simple things like birds and flowers. The one who worries about the evils of tomorrow rather than just taking care of the day at hand. These are the things of unbelievers. And if you see these things, even a glimmer of these things within you, realize your old Adam is at war with your new man. He desires to overpower your new man. And that the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh are trying to rob you from the very one who has created, redeemed, and sanctified you. The one who cares for you and is taking care of all the evils of today, but all the yesterdays, and yes, he'll take care of all the evils of tomorrow's as well. Seek first, Jesus says. Seek this out first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This kingdom of God is the rule of Jesus. This is the homecoming of the entire triune God within the Christian. That where the heart is trusting in God, praying to God, singing to God, thanking God, there God is happy to come and dwell. And where God dwells, his kingdom comes. And we believe. And our lives begin to line up with our fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Seek that first. Where can this be found? Here you see how God has chosen to work throughout time by his word, which comes from prophets like Elijah to the widow, from Christ our Lord to those disciples at the mount and to us today as we hear the same words, and from teachers of the word like those in Galatia long ago to those hearers of that region in Galatia as well. that God has promised to bring his rule, his kingdom, through preaching, through teaching, through his word. And that these things bring God's kingdom, God's rule among us, and even in you. And by his divine wisdom, he has of course then appointed for preaching and teaching such an honor, and thus he's appointed preachers and teachers throughout time to bring his rule through the word, his word. Seek this kingdom of God, this rule of Jesus by his word. But Jesus says also to seek his righteousness. This is, of course, because the word of God is not just bringing you information. It doesn't just bestow upon you how to live your life or conduct yourself. It brings good news of great joy for all people. It brings the good news of a righteousness that is not one you have to make for yourself. That you seeking your own righteousness will only create worry and anxiety, the very things that Jesus warns us against today. And when you're done, your righteousness will never be enough. But it was never meant that you would have to do this as sinners. Instead, God provides. Jesus came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried. Righteousness. Christ, born under the law to redeem those under the law, to provide the righteousness for them that they, that you, could never earn for yourself. To seek the kingdom through receiving the word of God, to seek righteousness by hearing the word of Christ and him crucified, this is the first thing for Christians. And all the rest follow right along after it and come into being. This is why there is a strong stewardship emphasis in these texts this morning. Elijah needed to be cared for during the drought and the famine. The widow provides for him as God miraculously provides for her. And by Elijah's preaching and teaching, that woman came to believe and confess the one true God, as we will hear greatly about in next week's Old Testament lesson. She is immensely blessed by God through the resurrection of her son. That one who is taught to share with the one who teaches is what Paul writes to the Galatian churches. And then Paul adds the warning that God is not mocked from the one who refuses to share. The provision for the teachers of the church is a matter of which God has keen interest. It is that because it's a matter of the kingdom of God being sought out by his people. It is a matter of their being blessed by God with the word of the kingdom, the word of righteousness. This is why the Spirit which is to be sowed to stresses, yes, do good unto everyone, certainly as the law commands, but especially take note to do good to those of the household of faith. But there is something absolutely special, absolutely sanctified and holy about helping your fellow Christians bear one another's burdens. And there is something absolutely notable in sharing with the one who teaches you. That it is special because God's word makes note of it, that you as Christians would take note of it. And the way of this caring and this sharing happens in the church is that the kingdom of God and his righteousness comes. And you are no longer to live like the Gentiles in worrisome devotion, clinging, clutching to money and your own concerns for the things of this earthly life. No. Jesus says that that is the way of unbelievers, the way of the Gentiles, to show his care. Of course, he hints here to his sacrifice for your sake in making note of righteousness, but he even makes it simpler, incredibly simpler. He makes it as simple as looking at birds and flowers. Does God take care of birds? Do birds worry about things of this life? How about the flowers in the field? How much are they worth? How much then are you worth? The birds and the flowers are to remind us of God's care and his provision. They are meant to shame us and help us to realize that our worries about tomorrow and even our worries about today only show and reveal our idolatry, our clinging to another god, our despising of the one true God who does all things well and has so graciously provided for us each and every day of our life so far, and that will continue. It would almost be a wise suggestion to take this teaching of Jesus and allow it to make us put a picture of a bird or a flower in our wallet, to put a sticker on our credit card, to hang them on the walls in our homes, to look at before we make our budgets or pay our bills, to ponder before we read or we watch the news, to put before our eyes before we go out to do our task as citizens, to look at that bird or that flower prior to having any difficult discussion in our homes, to be reminded as we get ready to make an offering at our church, to look at them, a bird and a flower, to remind ourselves of God's great care and his great provision before we are tempted to worry about the things of this life. Simple birds and flowers. But there is an even greater image to put before us, which goes far beyond all earthly care. It is the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would that we realize that when Christ our Lord is crucified for our sake, that our God is showing eternal care to us. And thus, with all things eternal now so secured, so certain, these earthly things are certainly also on God's list of things to provide and care for. So yes, Jesus Christ and him crucified is a great proclamation of our sins being forgiven, of God's way of loving us into eternal life. But that image is also one of God's care over every last lesser or earthly thing as well. That Christ has been crucified, you belong to God's kingdom now. That Christ has been crucified, you have God's righteousness now. Christ has been crucified. Heaven is your true home now. You are indeed a pilgrim or a stranger here. That Christ has been crucified. Your life is his. And he will care for you. That Christ has been crucified. Your family life is taken care of. Christ has been crucified. Your daily bread is well secured already, and so you may receive it with thanksgiving. Christ has been crucified. Your health concerns, God knows them all, and he will take care of you. Christ has been crucified. Your budget, your career, that training, the tests and those results, the bills, the emergency that comes up, the coming day that you will indeed die, Every single thing that causes you fear and worry and anxiety to rise up, that God, the God who was crucified so that you would be his own and live under him in his kingdom forever, well, he has all of that in his mind and under his care as well. The birds, the flowers, Christ Jesus himself. God is faithful. You are worth the shedding of God's own blood. That's how much you are worth. As we just sang, what God ordains is always good. He is your friend and father. He suffers not to do you harm, though many storms may gather. Now you may know both joy and woe. Someday you shall see clearly that he has loved you dearly. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.